Welcome back to Bears Blitz, brought to you by Xfinity. Since we didn't want the senior writer from ChicagoBears.com, Larry Mayer, to be the last one to shut out the lights before bye weekend, we decided to get him in here a little bit early for his usual Thursday visit. And let's take a broader picture here of what's transpired over the first 6 weeks of the season and then looking forward from a quarterback standpoint and what Jay's been able to do. A lot of people thinking that he's playing his best quarterback since he's been here in the course of 7 years under this regime. Your thoughts on that?
First of all, I would say I think he played his best football a couple of years ago before he broke his thumb against the San Diego Chargers.
2011,
yeah, he was really cruising along then. But that's not to say that he's not playing well this time around, Chris. I think he's playing exceptionally well at this point of the season. He's operating the offense just like Adam Gase wants him to. And those games against Kansas City and Oakland, bringing the Bears back late, were just amazing. And also, when you look at the Detroit game, I mean, he drove the team 70 yards in 21 seconds to tie the game at the end. Obviously, he benefited from having Alshon Jeffrey back, but he's making all the throws, and what he's been doing lately is he's avoiding that costly interception late in the game that's hurt him before in the past.
You mentioned Adam Gase's name, and I want to get to your impressions of how he has evolved this playbook and adapted to the pieces that he has, which has been a real difficult job. You know, a lot of people from the outside looking in were saying, all right, Adam just got, you know, his resume going just because of working with Peyton Manning. But I think what we've seen so far shows that's not the case, and a lot of people in the league have obviously recognized that with the head coaching interviews that he had.
Absolutely. He's very highly regarded, and I think he really does a good job of adapting his talent, like you said. The thing that's impressed me most, though, is the preparation. And you have guys like Cameron Meredith, Jeremy Langford, guys that weren't really expected to do a lot and contribute a lot, stepping in because of injuries and other opportunities to play well, because they had the top three wide receivers out for a while, if you count Kevin White among the top three, and you had guys stepping in like Joshua Bellamy making plays, and this is just really a reflection to me on Adam Gase and getting these guys prepared to play and step in at a high level. Look at the offensive line. I mean, you're talking about, we haven't really talked much about Charles Leno Jr., and Jiggs, yeah. That's probably a good thing when you don't hear
exactly
his name
right.
A lot.
Yeah.
He started three games in place of Jermon Bushrod, I think done a very good job.
He really has. He stepped in, and I mean, you haven't noticed the difference. And that's, as you said, a good thing. You know, and I look back and think now what's the most important thing, you know, in terms of continuity for this offense, and that is maintaining Adam Gase as your offensive coordinator. My question to you is, once the season is done, the improvement continues, the offense comes out of the weeds, if you will, what happens with Adam Gase?
I mean, not to avoid the question, but there's still 10 weeks of football to go.
Oh, I understand, but
that's a long way to go.
It happens fast.
It does, and, you know, I expect him to get some interest on the market in terms of head coaching. He did last year. He interviewed, in fact, for the Bears job. And a couple other ones that in the past that he's been kind of rumored to be. Mm-hmm. I think he'll draw interest, too, if the Bears have a decent season, which I expect them to. And obviously the Bears will have to cross that bridge when they get to it. But I have, like I said before, been impressed. And we talked about Charles Leno. You got Hronis Grissou as a center. Both of those guys, neither of them had started an NFL game as a regular offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. Last year Leno started as a sixth lineman eligible player. But it's amazing what they've been able to do by fitting those guys in and having veterans like Matt Slauson up there in front to help.
Yeah, you know, and when you look at the youngsters, too, just in terms of game to game, are they getting better? You do see that happening. So, you know, I have a great degree of comfort. You look at the coaching they're getting up on the offensive line. Obviously, it's very good. You look at whether or not the running game has improved. They're coming off the line of scrimmage and moving people around. That's happening. And suddenly they're protecting the quarterback better, too. So all those things start to fit together, which means at some point or another, when you get the receiving group all the way back together, this offense is going to start producing some points.
Absolutely, and I think we saw that with Alshon Jeffrey coming back. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bears did score 34 points for the first time. They hadn't scored 30 all last year, believe it or not. They scored 34 for the first time since 2013, but Alshon is definitely a difference maker. Mm-hmm. He showed that in the game. I mean, talk about his touchdown going up to getting it, and then, like you said before, about the last drive that forced overtime, it was incredible. I mean, it was two back-to-back passes. For some reason, Detroit decided to go to man-to-man defense at the time. Alshon caught a 25-yarder and a 24-yarder. Then they got the pass interference.
Larry, I'd like you to watch the varsity return.
The varsity.
I said the varsity's back on the field.
Absolutely.
Now.
I mean,
well, some of those JV guys who slid in did a nice job.
But there's
what?
A difference.
We have a guy who had 8 grabs for 149 yards, which, by the way, was the third largest total of his career in his first game. How shocked were you that he was used that much and that effective after being out for a month or so.
I wasn't really that shocked because I know he spoke to the media during the week and basically said, if I'm going to be out there, I'm going to be 100% and I'm going to be the same exact player I was before. So, like I said before, we know what a difference maker and a game changer he is, and he showed that in that game definitely.
We started talking a little, touching on the running game a little bit, but you know, if you look at some of the numbers over the past 4 weeks, I imagine a lot of this has to do with the offensive line being in flux with the injuries and the moving parts. But it's been under 100 yards, even though Matt Forte enters week six or week seven without the Bears playing as the NFL's leading rusher. Under 100 yards, that's something I'm sure is going to take a lot of attention here and something they want to correct. Get over that century mark as far as equations for success here moving forward these last 10 weeks.
I agree, and you know, I think part of it is, too, that in the Raiders and Chiefs games, they were trailing. The offense wasn't really doing much, especially in the Chiefs game, and then they had to kind of come back there late. But I think Kyle Long really said it best, and he's his toughest critic. He was talking about the adjustment from right guard to right tackle and basically said that he's improving a lot in terms of being a pass blocker, but he's still struggling in the run game a little bit. So I think once that gets settled a little bit and he gets more adjusted, and I think it's going to help having the two practices that the Bears have had during the bye week moving forward, but I think they'll focus on that. They'll also focus on red zone efficiency, which is something that has been a little bit of a problem early in the season.
I'll say.
Yeah, and I think it's only going to get better. Again, I mean, talking to Dave Magazy, the offensive line coach, he basically said this week, I've been doing this for 35 years and don't realize these guys have only been doing it for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's going to get, and obviously Will Montgomery unfortunately went down with an injury. He'd been working with Magazy in Denver, but these guys are all new to the system. Mm-hmm. And I think this team is definitely ascending, especially up front.
Yeah, I like the arc that they're on, too. Hey, you know what? Let's flip to the defensive side. One of the things that we were concerned about early on in the season was the lack of pass rush. That seems to have cured itself. The other thing, though, you look at, again, on third downs and whether or not you're getting off the field, it's shown some inconsistency. Still, you know, particularly when you go back to the Detroit game. Looking at the second half, where do you want to go with that?
You know what? I think you're right about the pass rush, but I'd like to see more contributions from guys that aren't named Pernell McPhee. McPhee has been basically a beast in there, and I think he's an excellent pickup. Jarvis Jenkins played well, especially early in the season. I'd like to see it spread around a little bit more, mm-hmm. and I would like to see some more consistency on defense, because like you mentioned, they had a couple of back-to-back games that really impressed you. I believe the defense gave up 9 touchdowns in the first 2 games, and then they gave up only 4 over a 3-game span, but then they let Matthew Stafford throw 4 touchdown passes, 3 in the first half, 1 week after he was benched. So I believe the defensive players, that got their attention, obviously. They're determined to improve, and they're going to have a chance against the Vikings a week from Sunday.
What would you say the chances are of this group, that group that they have, the front 7 that they have right now, making it through, they can go uninjured, making it through with that same 7?
Well, I mean, it's tough to say because they're already missing one of the guys in right. Shea McClellan. So, as you know, Jigs, injuries always happen. But that's why they have some good depth. I think they have some pretty good depth, especially at outside linebacker. Sam Acho is a guy that was a great yep. free agent pickup. Mm-hmm. I think he was really nice on special teams against the Lions, and he's a playmaker. Him and Pernell McPhee both have brought a new attitude to this defense. And I know a lot of people like to talk about that, but you can really tangibly see this defense is playing tougher and more aggressively. And I think it's because of those two guys primarily with the attitude they bring.
And Pernell not afraid to get in anybody's face if he doesn't think that they're playing up to snuff.
I was talking to him the other day, and we were talking about where he came from and, you know, the tough aspect of growing up down in Florida in that heat.
You know, in that part of
in
Florida.
That part
right.
of Florida.
It ain't Miami Beach.
No, right next to Lake Okeechobee, is it? At any rate, snakes, gators walking out your back door, you know, the whole thing. They chase rabbits down. I think there was something like 13 guys from his high school that went on to the NFL. That tells you a little something
That's
about
incredible.
The toughness
just,
of that.
Just remind Larry and me not to move down there. Look for housing down there in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, I prefer air conditioning myself.
No chance of that.
No.
No, I won't be chasing rabbits.
What do you got planned for your free weekend here?
It's Chris. It's work, work, work. Are you kidding me?
Yard work? Larry with the rake and the lawnmower?
I'll be watching tape. I'll be breaking down film. I'll be doing all that stuff just to make sure the Bears get better.
Honey, do this. Honey, do that.
Oh, he's got a projector.
I hate to call you honey. Larry, thanks as always for joining us. Enjoy the weekend.
Course, but thanks a lot for having me on.